So I am Matt Rizzolo. I'm a partner in Ropes & Gray's Washington, D.C. office, practicing primarily in patent litigation as well as other intellectual property litigation in district courts, the ITC, the PTAB, and the Federal Circuit. And with me is Jim Heintz. Jim's a partner in DLA Piper's Northern Virginia office. He specializes in patent litigation and prosecution in a wide variety of industries, primarily in the electrical and computer space, but has dealt with telecom, computer gaming, encryption, semiconductors, you name it, he's done it. And he also counsels clients regarding patentability and infringement and validity issues. So today we are going to spend the next 40 to 45 minutes or so talking about Section 101 issues in patent litigation, and particularly some of the more recent developments in this front, as it's been a bit complicated and a bit unpredictable at times. So we have some preliminary slides here, but given that you just saw a very in-depth discussion of the basics of Section 101 and the Alice Mayo test, we can skip through some of this. I mean, really, everyone at this point is familiar with the two-step Alice Mayo test. You know, you first look, are the claims directed to a patent ineligible concept, one of the judicial exceptions? And if not, you're good. If so, you move to step two. Is there an inventive concept? Is there significantly more there that transforms that into a patent eligible invention? Some of these judicial exceptions we're all familiar with: laws of nature, natural phenomena, or abstract ideas. And you know, this is really where the rubber has hit the road in litigation. Generally, people seem to agree that these are the types of things that people should not be able to get patents on. You know, gravity, for example. However, defining when precisely claims are directed to these judicial exceptions and whether there's significantly more there or not, that's where it becomes a lot more tricky and where courts and litigants and lawmakers and all sorts of stakeholders have struggled with this. So this takes us to some of the recent developments in the courts. And I think it's worth talking about the fact versus law dichotomy here as far as it concerns patent eligibility. So traditionally, we've seen courts hold that validity, patent eligibility, it's a question of law. And in the wake of Alice and Mayo, courts, district courts have frequently resolve this issue on motions to dismiss, or 12C motions for judgment on the pleadings, or summary judgment. And this has led to Section 101 becoming a weapon of choice for defendants. It's been a very useful way to dispose of cases at the outset before a significant amount of costs are incurred. Now, that began to change, as many people are aware, in early 2018 with the Berkheimer and Atrix cases. And there, the Federal Circuit clarified that while patent eligibility is a question of law, ultimately, it, like other questions of patent validity, such as indefiniteness, may contain disputes over underlying facts. And those factual issues may need to get hashed out through the course of litigation, and therefore you might not be able to dispose of that case at the outset with a motion to dismiss or a 12C motion, or even in some instances on summary judgment if there's a dispute, a factual dispute such as between experts. So this did change the game to some extent. Before Berkheimer and Atrix, and we're going to get into some of the details of motions later on. Before those came down, we were seeing success rates well above 50%, or around two-thirds in some instances where 101 motions were getting granted early on in the case. But this so-called kill rate of Alice-related motions has, it's dramatically dropped. And the Fenwick and West, Bilski blog, they use the hashtag AliceStorm, and they do a really good job of categorizing these over the last few years. And I think that's worth taking a look at for folks out there. You know, interestingly, the question of law and fact in the 101 context isn't really new. This is something that's been bandied about in the courts for, frankly, decades at this point. There's a case from 1992, Arrhythmia Research Techs v. Corazonix, if I get that pronunciation properly. And in that case, the Federal Circuit did recognize that while whether a claim is directed to statutory subject matter is a question of law, there may be required an underlying factual finding developed as it regards to particular subject matter and the mode of claiming, et cetera. Now, in that case, they said there were no disputed facts at issue, but as long ago as 1992, you saw that underlying fact dispute issue still recognized by the Federal Circuit.